especially for the movies that people who around the country, probably around the world, have seen this movie already. We're talking about Alita: Battle Angel. Now, some of you, if you a true nerd out there, you know that, because a lot of people, they're looking at this, and when they see this, when they've seen this trailer, they're like, God damn, what's wrong with that girl's eyes?
Like I said, when those trailers first came out, that's all people could talk about.
Yeah, people.
I was in a bar and heard random conversations behind me, and people talking about the trailer with those big eyes.
Yeah, people even talking about, man, I want to see that movie with that mutant girl in it. Mm-hmm. You know, that girl with that deformity. Yeah, a lot of people, and I still see people today talking about who have not seen the movie. I actually saw this. You know, I'm quoting something. They said, what the fuck is Alita: Battle Angel? Well, some of you nerds out there know, and I'll be one of those nerds out there. It's a manga. Y'all know I used to love anime. You probably knew this, Miles. This was an anime that came out. It actually was a manga first that came out in 1990. It was quickly what they called original animated video. Not long enough to be a full feature-length film, but, you know, so it's about an hour.
I used to read that manga all the time. I was a big fan of it, but I never saw the anime.
Anime is cool, man. I saw the anime before I read any of the manga. This is back when I was collecting some of this stuff, man. And this is one of the things that I actually loved. And I hadn't gone and checked it out in years, man. So I don't
remember
even...
you back in the day. You used to have a lot of anime.
Oh yeah, no, I was heavy, man. I was heavy into it. And so, you know, when I heard that they were going to be making a movie about this, and then I heard that James Cameron was attached, mm-mm, I said, "Oh shit." And then I heard that James Cameron was attached, and then after that I heard, well, James Cameron's attached, and he passed it off to Robert Rodriguez, and I was like, oh, okay.
Not too attached.
Okay, so we can get Spy Kids 5 then, all right? You know, but with this film right here, man, I saw the trailer, and I'll tell you, I was the one that defended it. And I said, you know something, because everybody's talking about the eyes, and I said, man, there's a reason for the eyes. Quit looking at the eyes. You know, look at the rest of the things going around in my eyes. Look at the world in here. Look at the see Billy. I was there. Everybody did that. Look at the world that they built in here. Look at the effects that they have. Look at some of the names that they have in here, like Christoph Waltz, that's in here, and Mahershala Ali. You know, yeah, it's got a great cast. Now this, let's leave the eyes alone and just and see what the rest of the movie is going to be like. Let's take a look at the rest of the story to see what we get here. And that is what we're going to do right now. We're going to have my review. We're going to have Martin come in his review. But first, we're going to show you the trailer, and we will be back with that review.
You told me the story of the war, when the ground shook and the sky burned. Of the ones that survived, who awoke to a different world, where the powerful prey on the weak. But that's not the way it has to be.
When I found you, your very human brain was miraculously intact.
It's the loneliest feeling not to know who you are.
In time, you'll remember.
I remember black skies, the lightning all around me.
Alita is new here.
It's a harsh world down here.
You gotta be willing to do what it takes.
Alita, run!
My God. She's the last of her kind. She contains technology that have been lost for 300 years.
Let me show you something.
This body, I feel a connection to it. I can't explain. You know more about me than you're saying.
Alita, some things have been left forgotten.
And I'll find out for myself.
She's threatening the natural order of things. I need you to destroy her.
Alita, they will come for you.
I'll have to face them head on. I'm gonna need you to stand way back.
Tonight is not a game. It is a hunt.
Across this new river. her.
And some of you might remember when this movie was under another working title. You might remember when it was called Angry Tony. Our friend, for those who don't know our friend Tony, he was with us on our last site. Some people, this is the first time I actually seen him because he was an animated robot himself at one time. That's right. That's the angry Mexican dude you see in the corner right here. He was in this movie, and we saw that, and it was funny because when you watch the trailer, some people don't even know him. They're like, damn, that's an angry Mexican back there. That dude hates his boss. I got to say, I've known this guy for years.
Since
he was in high school. That's how I knew he was a good actor, because I ain't never seen him that angry before.
I know, right?
I hope that was method acting, you know, right there. I remember when I saw that. When I first saw that frame right there, the first thing I did, I picked up the phone and called Tony. I said, man, do I owe you any money?
are we cool?
Are we good? Because I do not want you coming after me, man.
Drawing like real that. Experiences.
Yeah. Shit, both these guys look like they hate their jobs.
Why? I hate you made us come down there.
Yeah. Like, yeah, both these dudes are angry, but this guy ain't got none. I like the way he's trying to out-act Tony. Long.
He's sweating, though. See his upper lip. Trying to out Tony.
Tony, look at him. Look at them eyes right there. Tony even got a mad blink. I was like, I do not know what. If that's method acting, I do not know what image Tony had in his mind or what memory he was bringing back up. But he is.
Corey, I remember it like it was yesterday. The things he did to me.
Shit, he looking like Liam Neeson, this black bastard right here. And it was funny because I didn't hear it, but they heard it because Tony has a very distinctive
laugh. Oh, yeah. And there's a scene with a bunch of mercenaries in a bar where somebody says something, they all laugh. And me and Chris Cox, we could clearly hear Tony laugh. Folied into the other laughter. And we couldn't stop laughing just listening to it. Yeah.
Did you see him?
No, he's not even in that scene. Oh, but he must have laughed at some point.
He must have like, ADR. Yeah.
And yeah, they were just like, man, that laugh is too good. We got to put that
in. Oh, yeah.
And it did sweeten the laughs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, looking at that, you would never think he laughed in his life.
No, I'm sorry, man. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Shit, he's angry. I got the worst case of constipation I've ever seen. Jesus, I got a shit. It's so funny because Mahershala Ali is just so cool, and these guys behind like, I'm going to fucking kill you, man. You give me my fucking bonus this year.
He pays us extra if we frown.
Yeah. You know something with the movie, man? It was like, it's funny too, because Tony, I told him today, I said, man, you should come down and talk about it. And he was cool. He wanted me to put a rumor to rest that you put out there. He's like, listen, I'm not going to come down. I feel silly coming there and talking about how I just scowled. I just had a scene because I didn't have any dialogue. He's like, for some reason, he said you put out there that he had dialogue in the movie.
I did?
That's what he said.
How would I even know that?
Martin, whatever you did, you better correct it now. You don't want him coming after you.
All right, because I don't know how that's possible. Although his laugh is in there.
But his laugh is in it. So that counts as a lie. Yeah. Dialogue.
Man, that's the most I've said.
Yeah, I said, do you want to come down and just talk about the experience with the film? He's like, Tony's mind. He's like, look, man, I just had a scene where I just look mad. He's like, I'm not going to come down there and brag about that. He's like, it's cool.
Come in wearing a scarf and dark glasses.
Yeah.
And a beret.
Well, my motivation. I remember when my uncle touched me as a child.
My craft. Yeah.
When I studied with Strasberg.
But that'll mean when I watched Godfather 2.
Yeah.
I remember De Niro said to me, well, he didn't say it to me, he was on TV saying this, and I was listening to it, but he said.
Yeah. I clearly told that black guy behind the counter at Wendy's, no mayo. He gave me mayo. Mahershala Ali was that black guy that day.
And now Tony's Hannibal Lecter. Yeah.
Oh, the pain. I brought it that day. Tony did say, he did say this. He sent me a text and he said he is trying out for the next Batman, though. So I told him he's got our vote for that.
Doesn't he do that every night, though?
He does.
I was going to say.
Some people say the Lord's Prayer at night. He says, I'm Batman.
So the time I come home at night, he's perched on my roof going, I am the night. Yeah. I'm like, man, just take that shit off.
Come on, go home, man.
Go to bed.
You want to come inside?
You go to bed. I'm hunting. But I have to tell you, man, this film, see here, I will say this about the film, man. It is true. It's nothing but green screen. I don't think they even. I don't think there was ever a scene that they shot that was that green was not involved.
It's the loneliest feeling not to know who you are.
You know, there's intimate moments like that. That kind of transcend the effects heaviness of this film.
Yeah, for something that's shot on, you know, almost completely on green screen. It's one of the few times it didn't bother me throughout the movie.
No.
I just kind of forgot it and went with the environment.
Yep.
Because they do well with the environments.
See, the thing is, man, they use, when you have the sets, you can tell that they're sets and they're for very intimate moments. But most of this movie, it is a green screen film and all these things are CG buildings. But it's a world that really does look inhabited, man. And at first, it is off-putting. This world that you're put into, because everywhere you look, people are grotesque. People it's horrifying, man. You know, because when you dropped in the, it's like they dropped you in the middle of the street, and you're just walking like a tourist, and you're looking around like, ugh, shit. You know, it's like everything is.
It's not that different than going to a border town in Mexico.
Yeah.
Except the people are half robots.
Yeah. Except I'm more scared of the border town than going in.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But, you know, this world is alien to us. And it's disturbing. But soon you see that the characters are just living their lives. And it quickly becomes normal. Because not all these are villains. Not all these are characters that are fighting each other. Not all these are characters with big eyes and all that. It feels natural. It feels lived in. There are people with mechanical limbs who are just walking down the street, shopping at, markets and storefront carts. And people in the middle of the street playing guitars with an extra arm or something. It feels natural.
You bring up a good point. Because that is something that this movie has that a lot of these movies tend to not have when they make these fictional cities. Is that this feels lived in that I feel like if I'm not following the main characters, if I were to move the camera somewhere else, I would see somebody else's life and get the idea of what they do every day.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And another thing that really helps with it is something that people have enjoyed what they've done with some of the latest Star Wars movies. That's something that they say that, you know what, if you say anything else about Solo, what Solo did right is they made it feel dirty again.
Mm-hmm.
This world is, you know, it's gritty and it's dirty. And I love the dirtiness of it. You know, with this particular world they have, it's, first of all, it's a world inhabited, like I was telling you, by cyborgs, man. Most of these people are, most of these people look like victims of horrible factory accidents.
Yeah.
Like they were fixing a machine and just fell into it. And the only thing that came out of their body was their face, you know, on a pile of a bunch of mechanical junk.
Yeah, it's almost like they lost the ability to do just regular medicine. They
yeah.
were like, oh, you got a split in your hand? We got to cut that off and give you a robot hand.
Yeah.
Time for exoskeleton, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just go like, yeah, I knew that when I came
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I should have been more careful.
Yeah, don't go to a doctor. Go to a mechanic. You know?
Go to Joe's mechanic.
Yeah, yeah. Down the street. Yeah.
I can't do nothing for you, man.
Because that's what it looks like, man. These people are like dirty-ass Transformers. But instead of transforming to cool planes and cars, they just transform into a pile of trash. You know, all these people walk around looking
junkyards,
man. You know, but the designs are inspired, man. You know, I will say that. And it goes to his anime roots or his manga roots. You know, in that case, it's very Japanese. You know, these designs are very unique. I love them because, you know, I love what they do with them. They're very cool. They're horrifying. Sometimes they're even hot. God damn, that's sexy. Her eyes just got bigger. Did you see that?
See that Tex Avery Wolf?
Yeah.
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 Oh, oh, oh.
For those who are listening, I'm showing this scene with this spider chick, man. She moves like a spider. She's got blades for arms and legs, but...
And she's fine.
But she's fine as fuck.
She's got on fishnets.
Yeah.
Cristobal's over jacking off.
Watch her die.
Shit. I like the way Lita was like, you know I was going to fuck you, but you know, you brought this on yourself. Oh, wearing them fishnets, that was hot. Why'd you make me do this?
Robot ass on the air.
I know. I love all that hopping around, hissing. Yeah. I want to get your head mashed into a wall. I really thought some real shit was going to go down, man. She had on them fishnets and the mechanical arms. I thought they were going to beat each other and then they're going to make out. And then I was like, damn, you weren't shit. That character was gone quick.
Yeah.
they advertised her like she was going to be in the rest of the movie. Like she was one of Thanos' children or something. They're like, no.
That's her ass.
Yeah, caved her head in a wall.
God, damn.
Even she's like, damn, I thought I had more time. I got to get a better agent. But... in that sense, with the designs, I love the designs because the designs are not there just to look cool. The designs are there to play into the, like they move.
Yeah.
The way they move plays into their body designs.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, it's very much like the anime. You know, a lot of these characters, I don't remember if a lot of them looked like they did. I know there was like the big dude in there. He is in here.
They actually, because over a couple weekends ago, like right after we saw it, I was in a store and just looking back at the manga, and I was like, yeah, they changed the designs quite a bit.
They did, yeah.
But they still had that same spirit of what they were.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I think that's cool, man. You know, that when you make a movie based on a property, I mean, you can try to do a faithful translation, or you can try to change some things, not, you know, for, because the people who don't know it, that's cool for them. But if you know this property, it's nice to see that you can change it up a little bit.
Sure.
And yet somehow still keep the essence
mm-hmm.
of what the source material is. So I think that's a win-win for everybody out there who goes to see that, man.
I mean, for the most part, it's a faithful Americanized adaptation. And normally you hear those words and you go like, mm-hmm. oh, shit. But they do a much better than average job in translating this.
Yeah. Now, I will say that Even in this world where people are completely mutilated, they have mutilated themselves, where they you know they replaced their body limbs with used car parts, and you look at that and you think, well, you know, this world's already kind of exaggerated. Out of all that, you still do look at this girl and like, God damn, what's wrong with your eyes?
You know, it's a funny thing. It's like the eyes bothered me so much in the trailer. And then watching it in the movie, it took about 10 minutes before I was over it. I didn't think about it anymore. But just now watching, thinking back to it, I was like, yeah, but why were the eyes so big?
Exactly. Because
there's never explanation for that.
It's,
you get somebody going like, oh, I'm looking at the manga. She's got big eyes. We got to give her big eyes. You think somebody else would come in and say like, listen, man. Those things are drawn with everybody having big eyes. Don't focus on that.
Yeah.
But you think like, okay, well, in the movie, maybe it's going to make sense why she does.
No,
not really.
I tell you why it, look, I'm only saying this because I don't think it would be as much of a problem if through all this weirdness, because that's what people are saying. Well, damn, man, you just talked about how everybody already looks weird. Like people's heads are on junk piles. How you going to exaggerate? I mean, how you going to look at this and look at this exaggerated shit and come like nitpick on her eyes? The problem with that was there for me that made me notice the eyes is that, because I'm, you know, I just showed you one of the cyborgs. All these cyborgs might be attached to these mechanical bodies, but their faces are still in proportion.
Yeah.
Eyes are still in proportion to the rest of their face.
Right, right.
So when you look at her, that's when it comes in, is it's kind of like, well, okay, she's the only one with eyes like that, and they never explain it. It seems like they just do it because it's a cool effect to do to remain faithful to that character, that main character.
And they're clearly proud of that effect because every shot I see is of her is 2 inches from her face in this trailer.
That meant, you know what? And you made a great point because they are proud of it, man. But, you know, I can see why, because It is a cool effect.
Sure, great. I'm just saying that's what makes everybody, when they watch the trailer, go, oh, Jesus Christ, because of that. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my opinion.
I mean, I think it calls attention to her, and it certainly is enough to wake people up and go like, whoa, what's going on here? But it's also a problem, and it's distracting when it shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's one of the things where the admiration is there for being very close and faithful to the manga and to the anime, you know, with this adaptation. But that was one of the cases where perhaps, maybe, sometimes they were too faithful, you know, because it really is just to get the look down, but nobody else is getting that treatment. And now the characters who have big eyes in that anime.
It's like she's an android where somebody flipped on the switch for the Snapchat filter and never turned it off.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. She got that. Yeah. She should be talking like this. I saw my girls at the store today. except that the only thing that keeps me from really harping on those eyes is that the actress that they got, I keep wanting to call her Rosa Parks. It's Rosa Salazar. Rosa Salazar is the actress. You can see, you know, she, even in real life, she got kind of big eyes, but not that big.
Not
but the reason why I say she's got big eyes, of course, of a different color, too, is because she's already got an expressive face.
Yeah.
She's an expressive actress. So, you know, when she's in scenes where they depend on a lot of emotion, and most of those emotions are in the scene with her, her and Christoph Waltz. Christoph Waltz plays a scientist who... He is like the local doctor, except when people come in, he kind of tunes their mechanical parts up.
Right.
He also he's a hunter of other cyborgs, but he's also a scientist himself. You could probably guess why in the movie, but he longs for a daughter. He finds the body of Alita and brings her in. And those are some really tender moments between them when they're together. She has no memory. It's nice scenes where she's got this innocent curiosity. He's very fatherly. The eyes might not fit all the time, but for those scenes, Martin's crying about it. See how much they moved him? See things? Yeah, I know.
Allergies have been killing me.
Sure, allergies, yes. He was crying from this movie. No, it's when they had those scenes, her eyes can be very expressive, and I give the actress credit for that.
This body, it has the power I need. I feel a connection to it. I can't explain. This could be who I am.
You've been given a chance to start over with a clean slate. How many of us get that?
Why did an enemy warship respond to me? Because I knew that ship. I've been on others like it, haven't I? Haven't I?
Oh, whatever you were, it's not who you are now.
No. Nope. You're like, shit, take okay. it. You know, okay, all right, whatever you want.
I just had to have a daughter, didn't I?
Look, he's like, shit, I love that tray, too.
That was my favorite tray.
Yeah. Puberty. They warned me about this.
Right?
I've always wanted a boy anyway. But he's like, I'll take your ass back to the junkyard. You keep fucking around. Cut your ass off. Put them jumper cables up your ass. Tear up something else. But now here's, man, I really do like that the world they've created in this movie, man.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it, and I enjoyed the movie early on.
You know, there's no place you more see James Cameron in this movie than in the world building.
Yes. That is very true.
Is that something he's really good at?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think between the imagination of Robert Rodriguez and James Cameron, they were able to like put the what they both do best. Rodriguez's playfulness and James Cameron's penchant for like serious science fiction. Mm-hmm. Together, you've come up with a very unique kind of action film, and I'll explain why that is a little bit later. Now, talking about world building, there's a moment where the world building just kind of stops.
Sure.
And it's pretty much all about just looking badass. You know, this is where you talk about they proud, Billy. This is where they just stop and they just start showing off. Mm-hmm. They talk, well, it's pretty much. It's almost like Robert Rodriguez said, "Man, I ain't never had this much money before."
what else can we do?
Shit, he's used to that Weinstein money. You know, you know, they just give him just a little bit of money, and he Robert Rodriguez would tell you, "Man, I had these movies. I spent my own money on." You know, but with this, it's almost like he's having a good time with the budget, man. He's having a good time with the toys that are available to him, and there's good news and bad news. What you want first? You want the good news first. So the good news with this, you know, because after a while it turns into superhero landings and anime poses. And the good news with that is that the action truly is badass. I'll tell you that much. The action is clear. Mm-hmm. It's coordinated well. I mean, look, this is the thing. If you're going to do a movie that's like 90% CG, you got the ability to coordinate that action and choreograph that action any way you want to. And Robert Rodriguez knows how good that action looks too. Robert Rodriguez, there's a point where he's like slows that shit down. He's in when the most badass scene part. He's like, "Look at this good shit right here." You know, he's like, and there is a point where it's like the frames are so well composed, it's straight out of a comic panel. That before someone gets punched or killed or dismembered, you do kind of want to sit back and just like, let me just soak this in real quick. Mm. You know, let me just look at it. Let me just, you know, let me just, like, it's almost like I'm at an art gallery. Let me just look at, let me just admire the composition here. And I admire that, man. I'm not a big fan of that fast then slow-mo type thing.
Sure.
But if you put the artistry in it, I'm cool.
Well, you think about how well it worked the first time you saw it. Like when 300 first came out, it was cool. It's just that when it got run into the ground, you're like, all right, that's about enough of this shit.
Yeah,
but a little bit here and there where it enhances scenes like this, hey, bring it on.
Yeah, and you know what? And another thing with the action is they can get as violent as they want. I mean, they can just tear people up because
they're cyborgs.
There's no blood, you know?
Or roll around. I mean, somebody put it back together.
Fuck out of it. You can tear people apart. You can have people dismembered in all kind of ways. What we're looking at here, and if you would listen, that's a kind of a death race roller derby scene.
Yeah, that motorball.
Yeah.
It's like Rollerball, like the movie Rollerball, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, except they can't do all that. But yeah, those motorball scenes were badass.
Yeah, and those were cool, man. I mean, honestly, I'll tell you, it really is just crammed into the movie because it's a cool action scene. It really doesn't contribute
I like so much about this movie. But that's where the problems come in.
Yeah, that right there. They just said, man, we got a cool action scene right here. We just want to put it in there. But I tell you, it's cool because there's no blood. No one dies. There's because since they're cyborgs, there's a moment because they have some times where people's heads, she just tore the fuck out of some people. And the heads rolling the ground, you think they're gone. They're like, they can't live that. And then their heads roll, look at the camera like, it's a living. You know, some Looney Tunes shit going on. That way they're able to, that way they're able to keep kind of a PG-13 rating while having R-rated level of violence, man. I thought that was the cool thing that was going on with the action here. That's what I meant by this is kind of a unique action film itself.
Oh, absolutely.
But you were saying you had some problems with that too.
It's really just the basic problem of the whole thing. I mean, you get James Cameron, and granted he's not the director, but James Cameron, what he does best is world building and effects and action scenes. But then you get to something like Avatar where you go like, man, it has everything except story. The story is just kind of, you know, it's not so much bad as just seen it and it's predictable. And then some of the writing is just kind of not up to snuff. Not anything you're necessarily hating, but you've grown a little bit. And when I talk about my problem with the motorball scenes is that they're cool as fuck. I see why they put them in there. But that if you were to like look at the manga, that's the second book. Like as volumes go, the first volume is all about her origin and fighting these cyborgs and what's going on around there. Motorball is second. It's a separate thing. Here, they try to cram these two things together in one movie.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you got one story going, and then it gets hijacked by this sexier Motorball because it's got all the great visuals.
Yeah.
But it takes away from the development that that first story needed.
And thus lies the bad news right there. You know, there's so much action that character development starts to fall short. Mm-hmm. It was so good in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was so cool in the beginning. I was so touched. I was like, oh, this man done found a daughter again. You know, it's, yeah. It's some Pinocchio shit going on right here. It's like
Astro Boy.
Yeah, Astro Boy. Yeah, you know, I was into it, man. And then they get so caught up in the action that that's where the story, you know, when the character development starts to fall, when the character development falls apart, the story starts to fall apart. As good as some of the cast is in here, like Mahershala Ali, he's emotionless. He might as well be one of these cyborgs up in here. He's all flesh and blood and got less emotion in these machines
I'm
up in here.
I'm surprised they didn't make him a cyborg.
Yeah. But I got my cool shades on. You know, looking like Morpheus.
No, it's one of those things where you go like, wait, you hired this actor because he has a look, not for him to actually act.
And they hired him because that character does look like the character from the anime.
And he's hot right now.
And he's a big name. I mean, with a guy that's talented, I wish he had his role or his character have more to them, because that character has nothing. And I'll tell you the reason why that character has nothing a little bit too, because they made a mistake trying to do something with this character that hurts the whole movie, in my humble opinion. Jennifer Connelly is in the movie, man. I didn't find any, I don't know if I had any pictures of her anywhere.
They didn't give her any love in the trailer.
What's that?
So they didn't give her any love in the trailer.
You don't know she's in it till you see the movie.
You see one shot of her and she's walking by.
And she's a substantial character in it.
But but even her character is just cold, man. It's like there's nothing really going on with that character. I was trying to see if there actually was something of her in the trailer, and Billy's right there like, well, you can do shit no way. He's like, you know, ain't nobody here to see you. And then you got Ed Skrein, who's just being Ed Skrein, you know, angry, just walking around, just kind of with attitude.
Wade fucking Wilson. Look at my face, I'm gorgeous. You know, he's
the pretty boy with the attitude. You know, and all he does is spend the movie being angry. Although I can't really blame him for that, because he gets punked out in this movie.
Well, that's one thing I liked about his character, is that he comes in like he's really like the badass of all of them. And he gets punked out so much in this movie.
I think
it was enjoyable to watch.
I'd be mad too if I got done like this. Get your bitch ass out. You know? When you thought you were gonna do some bad shit, this little ass 14-year-old slams your hand to the bar.
Have some beer nuts, bitch.
And I mean, his feelings are hurt.
Ow, shit.
I mean, he's
into
mad.
Through the bar.
At first, he had no reason to be kind of mad. He just had attitude, but that attitude served a purpose.
She gave that attitude an adjustment.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, brother, I mean.
I was just asking, this is your seat. You ain't going to do all that.
No, it really was like that, man. It really was. He tried to play that shit innocently. He just kind of like, oh my God, your hair is gorgeous. Oh shit, fuck!
Is that a new necklace? Get your hands off me.
Yeah. Don't ever touch a Mexican woman's hair like that. A Mexican robot's hair like that. You know, and there's other characters in here, man. That they that's the problem. They're trying to, like with her eyes, they're trying to get too close to the anime in certain parts to where the story starts to get convoluted. You were talking about how they start cramming things in from other books into this, and they really are trying to fit a lot in there, one of the things that they should have done is, I think, I hardly say dumb things down. I'm not even say dumb things down, but
simplify.
They definitely should have simplified.
Or streamlined, rather.
Yeah, this should have been more a movie about emotions.
Yeah.
Conflict, what it is to be real in a way, what are emotions, because they deal with that a lot. Kian Johnson plays Hugo. If you know the anime, you know what it is. That's the love interest. It really would have been great to get some of their love story in there, a little more developed, instead of rushing it like they did.
Right.
Because when you see the movie, like, they fall in love, and first of all, ain't nobody buying that you set, like, they almost fall in love immediately. Ain't nobody buying that the first time you look at this girl, you're not like, shit. You know? I done seen some things, but
well, when
fuck.
You walk around and everybody's a cyborg.
That's what
it's
I'm
like,
saying.
Well, she looks mostly human except for the eyes.
That's why
maybe I can get it put on some sunglasses.
That's why I'm saying, out of all the things this boy done seen, you look at that and like, oh fuck, it's a good thing you got a nice ass, girl.
or maybe he's got a fetish.
A fetish. Can I lick your eyeballs? What? I'd say hi. But
oh, and that shitty best friend he's got.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that
now, you and your girlfriend.
Yeah, you know, he was just jealous. He wanted right. to get on there.
He wanted to get on with him. Oh, you still hanging with them females, huh?
Yeah, it's like the joke of The Simpsons. You kissed a girl that is so gay.
Yeah, who is it, this guy? I got him here, Jorge Lindenborg, who was, he's getting typecast and hanging out with robots because this was the same guy that was in Bumblebee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Who played kind of a nerdier friend in this? He's kind of just a shitty best friend.
Jorge Lindenborg?
Yeah, okay. Lindenborg. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Germany met Mexico somewhere in the middle. But, you know, I they had these relationships in the movie. Like that. I would have loved to have seen that this be more of a character piece because after a while, outside of Christoph Waltz and Rosa
Salazar,
Alita, and a little bit with Hugo and Alita. You know, those were the things that kind of felt real. The action scenes are cool, but this is you know, they really were trying near the end stick too close to the anime where I think they're gonna lose people, and it doesn't help. Stop worrying about that sequel. Worry about what you got now.
I know.
I mean, they are so pushing this sequel. There's a point where they even do a big reveal, and you know that they're thinking, like, the audience is going to be like, ooh, shit. And meanwhile, we saw everybody like, huh? You know, they did not know right. what was happening.
Right.
Stop pushing for the sequel. You made the mistake that all these Harry Potter ripoffs did, all these Hunger Games ripoffs did.
Percy Jackson.
It's
happened so much that I wonder if it's just something the studios push for, if they make them do that.
Because I
feel like every time somebody has a new property, there's always that talk of like, so what do you got planned for the sequels? You got sequels, right? It's a trilogy. Because it's too much of that happening without there being some push going like, all right, we want to make money off this. We got to sell this one. We got to sell this next one to make it bigger. So you got to plan on at least three movies.
Oh, that's the studio.
Yeah.
So.
Right. No, right. Yeah. Right.
The movie's already, as I said, convoluted. And trust me, they had a nice part to end on. They had a really heartbreaking part to end on. And then they had to say, coming up next.
Right.
You know, they had to introduce this whole part that just threw the audience off. People were really like, okay, what was that?
Yeah.
Who is that? And they played the thing.
They build it up, and then when you see, you're like, okay.
Yeah, and first of all, the person that you got, ain't nobody waiting for their return at all. Right. Right? I mean, I like that person.
Me too.
But ain't nobody waiting for the return of,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah, so, I tell you, I'll give my rating. I'll let Martin give his, if you want to, first. I can give mine if you want. Well, you know, listen, they've been talking about this movie is going to be one of the biggest flops of 2019. He ain't even out the door yet.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It's $200 million to make. That's what it's rumored for. And they say it's going to pull like $35 million. And once that Dragon comes out, How to Train Your Dragon, it's just going to go lower from there. They say it's going to be a bomb. And I think that's too bad. For one, I think they have themselves to blame, kind of. Because they put so much marketing into this movie.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, they had like a, Jesus. You can go have the Alita Battle Angel experience around
right.
town.
Yeah. That's right. I had friends calling me, asking me, like, how is that? I was like, shit, I don't know. I ain't never heard of it.
Yeah, well, you how was what?
The budget could be more than $200 million if you start adding in the advertising.
Well, I think the $200 million did go along with the marketing. Oh, because
that's included?
Man, they've been marketing this since Comic-Con. I went to VidCon. They had a bar. You can go in and get a tattoo. They built the bar they had in the movie.
Yeah,
they built the bar up like it was in the movie in the middle of this convention.
Oh my God!
And they've been doing this everywhere.
Didn't it get pushed back?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
From December, because they knew Aquaman was gonna drown that motherfucker. You know that it was. I feel bad about that though, because I don't think it's a movie that has a lot of problems, but I don't think it's a movie that deserves to fail like that. I felt like Robert Rodriguez was really invested in this world and things, and the things that we have are problems in the script, which is from James Cameron. So this is James Cameron's story. Visually, as I was saying, it's unique. Action moves well. It's treated with artistry. Had it been more self-contained, and they had kept that emotion up through the whole movie instead of like, and been able to combine it with the badass action that they have, because there's even a scene in here where they kill something in here, and you're supposed to actually have a moment where we're like, can we just take a moment to just shed a tear or cry or just say goodbye or something? But no, they set up to where this is supposed to be very emotional. And that happens, and the leader's like, I don't give a fuck. This is going to be a badass action scene coming up, you know? I don't care. Emotion, shit, yeah. Watch this good shit I'm about to do.
She's doing Zumba.
Yeah. Yeah, man. If it had been a more self-contained movie and a more emotional film throughout, combined with the action, you would have something amazing. But I'm going to give it a low matinee, man. I actually enjoyed it. I did. And I don't think it says it's been because of the move that you mentioned and because of the predictions of it being a flop. I think some people out there have written it off as a bad film, and I don't think it is. I think it's a fine film. For just pure action entertainment, but it could have been so much better. Martin.
Oh, well, I guess you kind of took everything. I should have gone first.
Good night. Saved you some time, Martin.
But you're absolutely right. I enjoyed this film. I really liked it a lot. And especially if you are going to go see it, I mean, just because it's going to be a flop doesn't mean that you shouldn't see it. It just can't make up for the money that was spent on it. That's a different story than something that's bad. And especially to see it in IMAX in 3D, and it's one of the few 3D movies that really, really works, that where you see it in 3D and it's not darker than it is otherwise. Because I would take my glasses off. I'm always checking. And I took them off at one point. I was like, oh, well, this looks exactly the same. Do I even need these glasses? And then I was like, okay, this part's fuzzy. Let me put them back on. And I was like, all right, you know what? If nothing else, James Cameron's always working on technology. And he has perfected or 3D, or at least taken it to another level.
You know, and before I forget, because I got it here, I just want to bring this up, and you can help me out with this. I thought it was cool that they did motion capture, but didn't try to catch the guy's face, the guy who does the big Hulk and Cyborg.
Yeah.
That was... Who's the guy that played Rorschach and Freddy Krueger and was in the back?
Oh, that's Jackie Earle Haley.
Jackie Earle Haley doing the voice of that robot.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out because I thought that was a good effect with him. Normally, with that kind of thing, with all these cyborgs, I'm so used to seeing the cracks and the seams and going like, all right, let me blur my eyes. But I thought these worked out great. I love the whole thing with all the different mercenaries. Everything in that action. You have the drama. And you have the action, and they both work well. It's just that you don't get enough of the drama to make you care as much as you should. It's always, like you said, it stops developing character too soon. It needed to carry it over into the second act, so that when the third, man, we really care. And the motorball stuff is great. It just needs to be in that sequel that you want to do, and not here, because we could really help to have this all fleshed out. That said, if you do decide, hey, man, I don't care what other people say, I'm going to go see this, I think you'll have a good time. And it's a matinee.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, man, watching it, I took note of the things that didn't work. But I also took note that I was not bored at all.
In the film,
man. You know, I really had a good time watching it, man.
I think a testament to it is that it really did remind me of having read the manga, even though I hadn't in a long time. And I could go back and check and go like, okay, it doesn't look exactly the same, but it still gave me that same feeling.
Yeah. I'm also taking points off of the nightmares this shit gave me.
When the ground shook and the sky burned, of the ones that survived, who awoke to a different world, where the powerful prey on the weak.